Now, we have with us today Dr. Sam Milam, who is the author of the new book called Dirty Electricity, Electrification, and the Diseases of Civilization. Welcome.
Well, glad to be here.
Dr. Milam, your book reviews research that shows that common everyday electrical problems could be linked to diseases such as heart disease and diabetes and cancer and even suicide. I'd be curious, by beginning our conversation talking about societies where they haven't used electrification, such as the Amish, what can you tell us from a public health point of view about the incidence of disease among the Amish?
The clue to study unelectrified populations back in about 10 years ago, I studied childhood leukemia. Age incidence peak that occurred de novo in the 20s and 30s in the U.S. and the U.K. And what's interesting is, that peak is everywhere in the world where there's electricity, and it's still not in places like sub-Saharan Africa. So when I found this association between the other causes of death, other cancers and the diseases of civilization and the spread of electrification in this country, I went hunting for populations that live amongst us that don't use electricity, and there's one that stands out, of course, is the Amish. They came over, they're Mennonite sect refugees who came over in the late 1700s, and they're called the Pennsylvania Dutch, and they live separate from non-Amish societies. And there's one group of them called the Old Order Amish that don't use electricity, period. I mean, they just don't have their houses wired. They don't use any electrical equipment whatsoever. And years ago, people from the University of Maryland and Hopkins studied them basically because they were inbred. They studied the congenital defects in them, but they noticed that their diabetes rates were about, less than half of what you'd expect, type 2 diabetes. There's some papers by Schuldiner, S-H-U-L-D-I-N-E-R. And then I got curious, and I dug out everything I could about illness and morbidity, mortality, and Amish. And I was really surprised to find that it's not just diabetes. They have lower heart disease rates, lower rates of suicide. And there's a very recent cancer study, the first cancer incidence study done in these people, published. This is a Midwestern Amish sect, and they have very low cancer incidence rates, a lot lower than you could explain in terms of smoking abstinence. And one final little bit of interesting lack of disease is that I found a pediatric practice that wrote a paper. They service quite a sizable population of Amish, and they've never seen a case of attention deficit hyperactivity disorder in these people. I mean, that's remarkable.
And what about neurodegenerative diseases?
Those are uncommon, and the only data I could find published was on cancer, on diabetes, and nobody mentioned amyotrophic lateral sclerosis or Parkinson's or any of that. You'd have to really do a good population study of them, and so I just don't know.
So can you tell us about your recent research looking at the death records in the early part of the 1900s and what you learned from that?
I said before, it started with looking at the spread of the childhood leukemia age peak. If you looked at, say, 1910, early 20s in this country, because the diabetes mortality, they didn't have good incidence data then. That's new cases of mortality. But diabetes was a good one to study then because it was uniformly fatal. Every kid that got it died. They died fairly quickly. And the diagnosis is easy. You could make it with just a blood stick. Just a blood smear. Notice that study showed that the age peak spread across this country hand in hand with electrification. In other words, percent of residents is electrified. That's reported by the census in 1930 and 40 and 50. That correlated just strikingly well with childhood leukemia age peak. We had a nice built-in control because the kids who died of leukemia out of the peak didn't show any of this association with electrification. Well, when I was doing that study, of course, I was naturally curious about how about the adults? Because, I started this work many years ago showing that adult workers exposed to electromagnetic fields had more leukemia. So I looked at female breast cancer that was astonishingly correlated with electrification and 1940 deaths. And that's if you lived in a place that had electricity, you were a lot more likely to die of female breast cancer. So then I basically spent a year digging through all causes of death that I could find and 1940 deaths in this country and correlated it with percent of residences that were electrified. And I was just astonished to find out it wasn't just a cancer, a few cancers. It was almost all causes of death except accidents. Diabetes was there, suicide was up, and it makes sense.
Dr. Ellen, people today are very concerned about the proliferation of Wi-Fi, cell phone towers, cell phone use, and routers, wireless computer equipment. And what you're saying here is that this is really the second phase of a problem, and that the original electromagnetic field and health problem began with electrification. Is that correct?
Well, it absolutely did. You look at the Amish, they've got fairly good longevity records. And at the turn of the century, if you lived in New York City, 1900, your average life expectancy was around 50 years. The Amish, you were living 70 years then, so there's a 20-year difference. And if you look at 1940 deaths, 1930, I think it was, if you lived in the urban area that was electrified, most of them were by 1930, you lived 8 years less than if you lived in an unelectrified rural area. I mean, that's really striking. So survivorship and longevity and mortality are all tied with this. But, you know, that's before we had Wi-Fi or any of that other stuff. I just think that, I mean, this is a cautionary tale. It says if this, these 60-cycle fields, what's the 60-cycle stuff? I'm almost certain it was the high-frequency transients riding along on electric that's delivered to your houses and to where you work that was doing us in. And
by any chance, were you able to look at the difference between men and women? Was there any difference?
Cancer is higher in men, but I think because they work and have more exposure. They certainly get more exposure at work to electric motors and things. But, you know, the Wi-Fi and the microwave stuff, that's high frequency again, but that's only in the last, say, 20 years we've been, and it's getting worse and worse all the time. So I think that in as much as this stuff's been doing this since the turn of the century, we really better be careful about adding any more of this to the environment, because I think it's all bad.
Well, let's talk for a minute about the high-frequency transients. You said that probably back in the early part of the 20th century, the incidence of illness was linked to electrification, and you're suspecting that it probably was the high-frequency transients that was the more biologically active issue compared to the just straight, plain old 60 hertz electrification. So tell us, what is a high-frequency transient, and is it more of a problem today? And tell us about the study that you did in the Southern California school where you were linking this kind of phenomenon to cancer clusters among teachers.
You know, I was involved from the very beginning with looking at power-frequency magnetic fields, 60-cycle fields. And I was always suspicious that that was not the major cause of the cancer mortality that we saw in kids and workers, because the risk ratios weren't very high. You had maybe double or triple the risk. Now, if you look at cigarette smoking, people who smoke two packs a day have 22 times the mortality of people who don't smoke. Well, there's a couple problems with electricity. Everybody's exposed now. But when I was doing my studies, half the population wasn't exposed. But even then, their exposure was, I couldn't believe that the 60-cycle stuff could cause all these cancers that I saw. And suicide and heart disease. You know, suicide has been shown to be more common in electrical workers for like 30 years, four or five good studies. Male breast cancer was long ago shown to be related to electrical exposure. Prevailing wisdom was that it was the power frequency magnetic fields. Well, I just didn't believe it. The epidemiology just didn't fit well enough into like the smoking and lung cancer data. So, about 5 or 6 years ago, actually after I'd done the study showing that residential electrification was strongly correlated with all these diseases and these cancers, I discovered a cluster that was reported in the newspaper, and school teachers in La Quinta, California were complaining they had more cancer. And so, you know, I contacted the newspaper and them and wound up doing a good study. We're just lucky to have a different meter used to measure their exposure. They used a Gram-Stetzer meter because Raymond Neutsch from the California Health Department had been involved in studies at Kaiser Permanente, and he recommended using this other meter as well as the standard magnetic field meters. So when he came and measured the school, he measured every outlet in the school with the Grimm's tensiometer, and I was just absolutely astonished to find out that those readings correlated dramatically with cancer incidents in the teachers. Here we had incidents, not death. I mean, four of them died, but we had cases, and if they worked in a room that had a high reading of this new metric, this Grimm-Spencer dirty electricity metric, that predicted their cancer risk, and the risks were high. I mean, over 10, 12, and it was multiple different cancers, which is very, very unusual. The only thing that acts like that I know about is X-rays, ionizing radiation. So that's how we got the dirty electricity connection. Then I went back and looked at Edison and electricity at the turn of the century and decided that there's two major ways to get dirty electricity. One way is if you interrupt current, the current flow. Dimmer switches do that. Halogen lights do that. Contact fluorescent lights do that. Variable speed motors do it. Any device that's got a switching power supply that changes the AC to DC, like your computer, your TV, your fax machines, all those, your cell phone runs on DC, and basically that little gizmo you plug into the wall to charge it is a switching power supply. All those things create dirty electricity. But at the turn of the century, we didn't have that stuff. What we had were these huge generators that Edison built. They were called Jumbo. I guess one survives in Dearborn, Michigan at the Ford Museum. And I looked at the schematic of how they were put together, and the power was basically picked up off the shaft or the drive shaft of it. It's called a commutator with big metal brushes, later with carbon brushes. These you could touch and pick the electricity up. And the way it was built was guaranteed to cause arcing or sparking as the thing rotated. And that's another way of creating these high-frequency transients, that sparking, arcing, bad connections. And like I said, variable speed motors do it, anything that chops the current flow. So way back when we had this DC system in New York City in 1882, I'm positive that those machines were putting dirty electricity or high-frequency transients. We're talking in the kilohertz range, say between 4 and 100 kilohertz, 1,000 cycles a second, into the wiring and getting into the houses, into the places of work. And I think what's happening now is with all this other electrical appliances that we've grown so fond of and dependent on, the situation's just gotten much, much worse. I mean, the electricity levels are just going up like mad.
So if a teacher had worked in that school in Southern California for, say, a decade, what was the increased cancer risk to that teacher?
Well, if she just worked in a school, the whole school, I think there was a 21% per year increase. If you worked in a room that had a reading that was too high for that meter to measure, that was above 2,000 units, her risk was 26%. So she worked in a decade, it's 26% times 10, 260% increase. And if you compare those teachers to the California population, they had 10 times the risk of melanoma, 11 times the risk of uterine cancer. And there's another school, unfortunately, down there I just started looking at, and there they've got 7 breast cancers and a total of 70 teachers that worked there in the last 20 years. And again, the cancers aggregate or are overrepresented in the rooms that have very high dirty electricity levels. And here we got a smoking gun. There's a cell tower built about 20 feet from the classroom wing where most of the cancers are, where most of those teachers taught.
So is the radiation from the cell tower getting onto the wiring?
No, I don't think it's the radio frequency. I measured it as high. But these cell towers, like any other transmitter, runs on direct current. The electrical guts are DC. And they take the AC line voltage and they use these switching power supplies to change it from AC to DC. And that generates dirty electricity and puts it back into the lines.
I see. So it's not actually the RF from the cell phone tower. It's the way the cell phone tower is working that's generating the excess dirty electricity.
Yeah, I think the whole neighborhood's going to be dirty on account of that tower being there, not just the school. And I think if people start looking around in neighborhoods near cell tower, where the cell towers are located, they're going to find concentrations of ill health and disease in the neighborhood of the tower that's basically another dirty electricity story. I'm not saying that the RF is good for you, but and in this place, the RF is shooting right over their heads because the tower is high and the classroom base is right 20 feet from the base of the tower.
Do you think that this school in Southern California is unique, or do you think that a lot of schools have a dirty electricity problem?
No, I think it's a universal problem. I did measure one school in my neighborhood up here in Washington State that was clean. I had 45 rooms. There was a single room above 100 on the Stetzer scale. And this new school I'm looking at, this elementary school, it's Vista Del Monte Elementary in Palm Springs. There isn't a single room below 100. And the average is like 1,200 Stetzer units. The school, the one we studied carefully, is average 700 units of dirty electricity. And the proof that the evidence that it's a universal problem is the California Teachers Association study. They studied incidents in the whole state and all the teachers, and they showed the same cancers have excess, statistically significant excess incidents as we showed in these schools.
And so would the teachers' incidence of cancer from the dirty electricity be any higher than any other employee that goes to work in an office building or a factory? I mean, there's nothing unique about schools, right?
No, it's not schools. It's any place you get this dirty electricity. You know, I've always been amazed. You know, I've been studying cancer work for 40 years. Why do office workers have higher cancer rates than people, you know, who work in places where they're exposed to carcinogens that we know about? And they do. Like, melanoma rates are much higher in indoor workers than outdoor workers. So it's not the sunshine that's doing it. I think it's this dirty electricity business.
Okay, now I have a question on this Gram-Stetzer meter. Yeah. What exactly is a Gram-Stetzer unit of measurement? I know they're supposed to be under 40 on the meter to be on the safe side. What does that mean? What is a Gram-Stetzer unit?
Well, what it's measuring is rate of change of the high-frequency voltage transients. It's basically it's an average rate of change metric. It's in calculus, it's dVdt, change of voltage over time. So it's really emphasizing two things: how quick the fields are changing and how high, how strong they are. It's measuring rise time. Knows if you're getting high, and there's a general relationship between frequency and ability of the stuff to couple to your body. And the higher the frequencies, the greater the penetration and coupling. So the high frequencies are more to worry about than the low frequencies. So maybe that's what's going on here.
So let me ask you a question. The Stetzer meter measures these high-frequency transients within a certain range of 4 to 100 kilohertz.
Right.
Is there also an issue of high frequencies that people should be concerned about over 100 kilohertz?
Well, absolutely. I mean, people call me all the time. We're exposed to Wi-Fi systems and microwaves and FM transmitters, that these are all above what the Stetzer meter can measure. So I think we're just looking at one little piece of the electromagnetic spectrum that's, I think the whole spectrum is suspect in terms of problems. And, you know, and the recent explosion of these high-frequency devices is a cautionary tale. I mean, I think that's what's going on with the cell phone brain cancer business and people complaining of illness, tachycardia and cardiovascular problems in the vicinity of certain kinds of wireless telephones and transmitters. No, the Stetzer meter and its filters, which reduce take care of the fields in just a narrow range. You mentioned between 4 and 100 kilohertz. I think we've got to be concerned about the upper frequencies too, but that's for the next book.
So, Dr. Millam, you have been a public health physician, an epidemiologist, and you have discovered some very important things about the role of electrification and dirty electricities linked to cancer. It almost looks like it's a universal carcinogen, I think one of your paper indicated. So what I'm wondering is, if that's the case, what recommendations do you have for what society should do with this information?
Well, unfortunately, I've published this stuff in the peer-reviewed literature, you know. In fact, more recently, and I can't get anything published. That's why I wrote the book, because I alerted government. I mean, I give you two or three case examples. There's an ongoing battle between the Marines at Camp Lejeune and the Navy about a cancer, male breast cancer cluster, and the people who are at Lejeune. Well, hey, there's 12 papers that associate EMF, electromagnetic fields, with male breast cancer, and the Marines are claiming that it's contaminated water supply. So I wrote, you know, it's obviously not that. I mean, people are bathing that stuff and don't get all these different cancers that the Marines are getting. So I wrote the Marines. They're not interested. I wrote the camp, the commandant. They're not interested. I wrote the Army people. I wrote the Senate and House committees that should be interested and that are probably going to waste their tax money paying these people for something they weren't exposed to. So you don't get any action. And I've tried to get into Boeing to study Lou Gehrig's disease because there's a hot spot there of it. They won't let me in. And like the war on cancer is a failure because people have missed the major carcinogen. And so that's why I wrote the book. If we don't get the public excited and agitated about this, kind of just like Silent Spring did for pesticides, that's the whole point of writing the book. And I'm just super frustrated with trying to get public health to respond. Well, look at the schools in California. I talked to the California Health Department and wrote the governor's office. The teachers at the first school, of course, they know about the cancer problem, but the school refuses to acknowledge it. They've listened to their attorneys, and the state has put no pressure on them, so the teachers basically quit and moved to other schools. So all the new teachers are being exposed right now and don't know what they're exposed to. And the kids are at risk, too. Looks like there's a cancer excess in the former students. I've talked to the California Health Department, to NIOSH, to OSHA. Nobody responds. And recently, I think that the Gulf War syndrome has got an electrical basis, too. The suicide in vets. You know, I looked at the temperature of Baghdad today. It's 112. It turns out that almost all the oil that's imported to Afghanistan and Iraq are used for one purpose, air conditioning. So the consequence of that is portable air conditioners put out a lot of dirty electricity just by the way they're made. And the electrical wiring can't be very good because they're electrocuting those kids, too. Kids who touched the shower knob with nozzle and dropped dead a couple months ago. So, nobody listens. That's why I'm going to the people. The government's really failed to let people down in this business for years. Look at the cell phone business. Why on earth would governments allow cell towers to be put in school grounds right next to schools? They're all over the place. Every firehouse in Riverside County has got in California, it's just about got a firehouse stuck, a cell phone tower next to it. And I measured them. They're all high dirt electricity levels.
Very interesting. Well, Dr. Sam Millen, thank you so much for being with us. For people who want to learn more about this subject, read his new book called Dirty Electricity, Electrification and the Diseases of Civilization, and also go to his website, which is www.sammillham.com. That's Sam Millham, MILHAM.com. And there you will find his papers and writings on this topic, and it's a valuable resource. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me. Bye.